Union Chapel, I have a secret. I have a secret that I need to share with you. And it's a secret that will transform your life. Want to know what it is? I was waiting for somebody to say Jesus. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you right away. I can't leave a hook like that and just tell you. You'd check out on me. But stay tuned, because today can be transformative. And there is a secret to this that is not going to be a secret anymore. And it's not meant to be a secret. What am I talking about? We're talking about contentment. This series is all about more of less. How do we find contentment in a modern society that convinces us that everything we need is something we don't have? You know what I mean? Like, I just got a car. Okay, great. Well, that one's not good anymore. Now you need this car. I just moved into this neighborhood. Well, that's not the cool neighborhood. Now you need to move into the... You get the idea. You get the idea because you live it every day, right? I'm not making this up. We all experience it in some way, shape, or form. So here's an interesting thing. You know, when we talk about proximity to God, how close we are to Christ, how good our prayer life is, let me ask you, are you closer to Christ when you have scarcity, when you've lost a job, when you've lost health, when you've lost a loved one? Or are you closer to God when you have abundance, when you have plenty, when you're comfortable? How many people would vote for scarcity? You're closer to God in the scarcity. How many people would vote for you're closer to God in abundance with blessings? Interesting. I wish you could see the poll that I see. We're closer to God in scarcity is what I'm seeing. So now let me ask you, if you're the enemy of a people called Christians and your goal is to distance them from God, how will you go about it? Will you take things away? Will you make their life hard? How would you go about it? I should, for those of you who are new, I like to talk with you, not at you. The audience participation is actually encouraged, right? How would you go about it? You're the enemy. You're trying to distance Christians from God. How will you do it? Lots of stuff. Prosperous. What?
Distractions.
Yes. What was it?
Spoil them rotten.
Spoil them rotten. Yes. Yeah. Give me everything I want. Now, that sounds wonderful if that's all you think. Yeah, give me everything. I got everything I want. This is great. Or is it hell? Because what I just said is the more abundance we have, the more distance we experience from God. So if I get everything that I want, that's not heaven. It's a separation from God. In my book, that's hell. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, and I'm so sorry if I spoiled your fun. So what am I saying? We have to live in scarcity and poverty and take a vow of poverty and dress in sackcloth and ashes? No. Stay tuned. Now you're really curious. What's the secret, right? I'm not telling you yet. We got more to go. But let me say this. Studies have actually shown that there are clear lines between abundance and, I would say, apathy. And maybe it's not even an active, like, I'm trying to distance myself from God. But when I have everything I need, I'm not really looking anywhere else. I'm good. And so what we see is we put that Bible on the shelf, the best-selling, least-read book in the world, and it gathers dust. And as Lori said, that in that armor of God, the only offensive weapon in that, if you think about it, is the sword. That's the offensive weapon. So how are we doing, church? Are we taking any ground? Not with a rusty sword. We're probably losing ground. At best, we're just holding ground. And holding ground in a changing society is losing. How many people want to be in a loser church? That one was easy, right? How many people want to be in a winning church? Yay! Now, here's the toughest question of all. How many people are willing to do what it takes to be a winning church? You don't have to answer that. Yeah, says Super Soaker King. Absolutely. So this sounds appealing. How do we do it? And what's the secret? Let's go on. Now, maybe this is true for you, too. Maybe you have experienced this idea of when things are good, God gets a little distance. When things are scarce, he's a little bit closer. But let me add one more layer of nuance here, because I'm still the enemy and I'm still plotting against you. I'm subtle. I'm cunning. And I'm insidious. You don't even see me coming. And here's how I do it. I know that you're going to figure this out. When you have abundance, you tend to distance yourself from God. And so I want to drive to scarcity, right? Because scarcity brings, I want to stay away from scarcity. I mean, scarcity brings you closer to God. Not if we have the wrong mindset. What do I mean by that? Here's the bottom line of this. This is all about me. When I have abundance, I have everything I need. I don't need anything else. When I have scarcity and I get closer to God, why do I get closer to God? Because you need him. But is it still all about me? See, well, a lot of times when we have scarcity, when we lose a job, when we lose health, we say, it's all about me. I need God to do this for me. And that is not wrong. I want you to hear this clearly. Pastor Bill did not say, don't pray for yourself. Don't bring your needs to God. Don't get close to Christ. I'm not saying that. I'm saying absolutely get close to Christ in that time of scarcity. Tell him what you need. But realize this. There's an army of people around you. There's an army of saints around you. There's a cloud of witnesses around you. You are not alone. See, that's the other thing I would love to do as the enemy is to make you think that you're the only one dealing with this, that you are all by yourself. No one would understand what you're going through, and you can't do this by yourself. If I'm successful in that, I got you. But is it true? Well, it's true if you belong to a loser church. Thank God you're not in a loser church. Thank God you're in a community as we were designed to be. So when you look at this idea of abundance and scarcity, a great question in one of the studies, they actually asked this question, do you have stuff or does stuff have you? That's one way to think about it. If stuff has you, that's your idol, that's your God. But if you have stuff that's available for God, God's still God and you're a great steward. So that's the difference. And I use this picture. Anybody, I'm just going to, just for fun, what story in the Bible do you think this is? Jesus talking to this guy? Yeah, there you go. The rich young ruler. And the basic of the story is this guy comes to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, I have followed all the rules. I've done all the right things. Tell me what I must do to inherit eternal life. And what does Jesus tell him? He says, follow me, but he says something before that. Sell everything you own and then follow me. And we know the happy ending to that story, right? Yeah, he walks away sad. That's a sad face in the making, right? He's about to walk away sad because it's like, no, because why? Because it's not that he has stuff, it's that stuff has him. And here's how I know. What's the rich young ruler's name? We don't know. He's never named. Why? Because he's called the rich young ruler. His identity is not his name. His identity is not a child of God. His identity is rich young ruler. By the way, all of that's about to change. He won't be rich forever. He won't be young forever. If you've been around the sun a few times, you know what I'm talking about, right? You're not going to be young forever. You're not going to be rich forever. But you can be a child of God forever. So where is the priority? How do we deal with scarcity and abundance? This guy walked away sad. We don't have to. Now, the setting, and I'm actually not going to use this story, but I thought it was very illustrative. I'm going to talk about Paul in prison. Talk about a guy who had it all. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was honored to take on this mission of eradicating Christianity. He knew everything. He'd been to the best schools, had the best mentors, had the best of everything. And then he had this encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and everything changed. He went from all to nothing, from Saul to Paul, and his life was forever changed. So that's what we're going to read today. Our scripture comes out of his letter to the Philippians. It's Philippians 4, 10 through 13, if you want to follow along. I always offer a question for you to ponder during the sermon. Today's question, what's the secret of enough? Listen to what Paul says. And by the way, as I read this, remember, he's writing this from a jail cell. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. These are the words of God for the people of God, and for these words we are grateful. Did you hear that? Paul knows the secret. So we need to unpack the scripture in three ways today. This is how we're going to do it. First of all, he says, I can do all things. Then he says, I have learned. And then he says, I have learned the secret. So let's take a look at each one of these. And I need to attack this one first. I can do all things. This is what happens when you ask AI for two superheroes representative of Fulcher, Texas, by the way. I guess if you wore a chainmail suit all day, you'd be buff too. I don't know. Anyway, so we use this phrase, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, as kind of an incantation, as a superpower. And we interpret that to say, okay, no matter what I'm up against, I can conquer this. I can do this. Why? Because Christ is in me. Is that what it really means, though? Does it mean that, you know, like I'm going to go and do some great thing that I'm not qualified to do and have no idea what I'm doing, but if I just ask God, he'll make it happen? I'm going to have an exam next week in school. I haven't studied at all, but I'm going to ask Christ because I can do all things through him who strengthens me, and he's going to give me an A. So you see the ridiculousness of that, right? But we use that all the time. And here's the problem. Some of us use it as the incantation. I can do all things through Christ. And then we go out and we fail at that thing. And we say, whoa, this doesn't work. The Bible doesn't work. See, I told you, it's just a story. But have we had it in the right context? When Paul is writing this, he's not saying I can do everything. He's saying I can endure everything. I can get through this, whether it's in plenty or whether it's in want. Whether I'm hungry, whether I'm well-fed, I can get through this. Why? Because Christ is in me. It's a cry for endurance, not for magical powers. Which would you rather have, magical powers that are fictional or resilience that's real? I'll vote for the second, right? I can do all things as a cry for endurance. You can weather the storm. You can weather the abundance. And this is the interesting thing. We really have to learn to weather both. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but it's interesting. So I can do all things is about endurance. Okay, so the next one, I have learned. I think it was Churchill that said, I love knowing, but I sure hate learning. Right? I just want to know stuff. I just want to be good at stuff. I don't want to practice and fail. I don't want to have to study or work hard. I just want to know stuff and be good at it. But that's not the way life works. And that's not the way contentment works either. You notice he said here, I have learned. So I say this because this is it. For those of you who are going through the tough time, for those of you who feel like God is distanced from you, this is how you learn. You don't get better at something without practice. So if you're trying to learn to be content, God is going to put you in situations that require you to learn to be content. He's not just going to hand it to you on a silver platter. Any more than you can say, well, I want to enter the Mr. Universe competition, so I'm just going to take a magic pill and poof, here I am, right? I can tell you that's not going to happen, right? But that's the way we approach faith sometimes. I want to be good. I want to have everything laid out. I want to be comfortable. I don't want any stress. That's not the way you grow. That's not the way you learn contentment. So whether you're in plenty or whether you're in want, understand that this is an opportunity, no matter, and I say opportunity, people think you're sick, man. Why would you say it? It's not that I'm seeking these things out, but it's when they come, don't shy away from them. Walk into them fully with Christ. In all of the Psalms and everything you can think of, his presence is there. He will never leave you or forsake you. He'll walk with you even through the valley of the shadow of death. But you got to go with him. In the process of going with him is where you develop all this stuff that allows you to be content in any circumstance. Now, it's pretty easy to understand the scarcity. I have to trust him. I have to trust him to provide. And the way that you do that can be your most powerful witness to anybody else who's watching you. You don't even have to say words. The way that you live your life is a beacon for other people to see. And if you trust him in the scarcity and they see that, and God provides, well, you just have a powerful, powerful witness. And you're stronger because of it. You've learned that connection is valuable. But here's the other thing. In the abundance, do we distance ourselves from Christ or do we stay close to Christ? Because here's where the real power comes in. If you don't want to be in a loser church, if you want to be in a church that's changing your community, be close to Christ in abundance. And now you become a steward with resources, with authority, with power, with things, with skills, with talents, with time, with treasure. Now you can begin to impact a community. Now you can have an army of stewards rise up and change the community. That's in abundance, but it's also in scarcity. We can't separate those two. In the end, Christ has to be in all of it. And now, the secret. Jesus. See, it was there all along, right? It's Jesus. Is he in everything? Because he's, as the famous saying goes, he's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. So we get to pick. We get to walk with him in the scarce times. We get to walk with him in the abundant times. We get to walk with him as a gift. It's not anything we deserve. It's not anything we can earn. It's something that he gives us freely at great cost to him. But it's free for us. So that is the secret. I, if anybody's disappointed that it's Jesus, let's talk. Because do you know him? Do you know what he's capable of? Have you seen the lives that he's changed when he comes alive in people? That same resurrection power is still available today. It is powerful. It is literally transformative. Now, it's an easy concept to understand, but it's sometimes hard to apply. And that's why I say, get in a group of like-minded people. Figure out how to do this. This is what community groups are all about. It's a giant leadership laboratory. We come together, we talk about it, we go, hey, okay, this is what the Bible says, this is how I'm going to try to live it. We go try it, we fail miserably. We come back and we say, hey, this didn't work. What do you guys think? Or what do you gals think? And now you have this opportunity to learn and to grow. Do you get it right every time? Probably not, unless your name is Jesus Christ. Everybody fails, everybody learns, everybody grows. But those losses can be lessons. Those failures can transform us if the right state of mind exists and the right relationship exists. Now you know the secret. Here's the thing that helped me understand this. Don't think of God as something you have to be dependent on necessarily, although we do. We're dependent on him for everything. But in our culture, influenced by the Greco-Roman culture where Stoic philosophy was the big thing and Paul was combating that all the time, Stoics are like, yeah, pull up your bootstraps, man. Put your big boy pants on and deal with it. Don't show emotion. Just gut through. This is where our rugged individualism comes in our Western culture. But it doesn't always work, does it? If you've tried to do something by yourself, by sheer willpower, I bet you failed. And if you haven't, you will. That's the way this works. So we are dependent on God, but we in our Western culture don't like that word dependent, do we? It feels weak. Who wants to be a part of a weak church? No one. Unless you think of it this way, it's not just dependence, it's an alliance. Think about what an alliance offers. This is not real countries, but if it were, let's just say NATO, all right? So there's NATO. If you're a tiny little country called Lithuania, and you've got a giant Soviet empire on your doorstep, you're never going to win. Never by yourself. Unless you're part of an alliance, which says, if you attack one of us, you attack all of us. Church, I think it's been a long time since we have said, if you attack one of us, you attack all of us. Whether that's in the community, whether that's an individual, nobody does this alone. If you're under attack, you're part of an alliance. God will summon resources, and so should we. As we come together to combat this thing, if one of us is attacked, we're all attacked. If one of us celebrates, we all celebrate. If one of us mourns, we all mourn. That's an alliance. That's strength. That's what community is. And that's what we're gonna launch again on October 5th as we come together. Now, I know that you're going to want to symbolize that by a T-shirt, a Union Chapel T-shirt. Here I am selling, the money changers, throw the table, everything. But think about this. We always talk about evangelism. I want to invite people to church, but I don't know what to say. Okay, then wear a T-shirt. And you know what they're going to find? If you look at the sign in the back, the Union Chapel is right there. The first thing they're going to see on that T-shirt is, man, you guys don't know how to spell. Well, you got two P's in chapel. And you know what? That's your entry point. That's why we did it. That's a conversation starter right there. Oh, it's an old English spelling. We've been around since 1844, and Jesus has been around longer than that. Do you want to get to know him? He's awesome. Why don't you come Sunday? See how easy it is? You just invited somebody to church. Now all you got to do is show up on their doorstep, pick them up in your car, and bring them here. And lock the door. At least until 11. All right. So think about it as an alliance. You have all these resources together. We have all these resources. If you talk about time, talent, and treasure for an individual, some of you are pretty impressive. If we talk about time, talent, and treasure as a community, that's pretty amazing. But here's the most amazing part of all. If you talk about time, talent, and treasure in Christ, well, we're unstoppable. Think about that. There's nothing that can stop us in that. So, Jesus is the answer. He has one foot in each camp. He's there with you in scarcity. He will provide. But you can still give back to him even in scarcity. Sometimes your example in scarcity is your most powerful witness. And in plenty, when we have plenty and he's close to us and we are stewards of what he's given us, we have amazing resources, real resources in this world. And we have real resources in the spiritual realms as well. So here's your action points. Number one, name your not enough. What is it that you're afraid of? What is it that's going to make you dive in and try to do this alone? Because when those times come, that's when you need to reach out. It's counterintuitive to Western culture. I know that nobody wants to say, man, I'm having a tough time. I need help. That sounds like a weak church, but it's not. It's actually a strong church. It's a church that's an alliance. It's a church that's unstoppable. So identify those points. Reach out. Shift from, independence to alliance. So my trust and obedience join his strength and provision. That's what makes us unstoppable. Think about what those are for you. Live in alliance in both lack and in plenty. Don't just draw close when times are tough. Stay close when times are good. And if you go back and forth, understand this. It's normal. This is a fallen, broken world we live in. You're going to have ups and downs, and Christ is there through it all. It's not that he's left us. It's that we're not aware of his presence. So just a simple mind shift. It won't make things easy. It won't make sorrow go away. It won't make pain disappear immediately. But it will ground you in an amazing way. It will give you a strength and resilience that this world can't give you. It might even give you a peace that passes understanding. It might even give you a clicker that is not cooperating. There we go. So to summarize this, we have talked about I can do all things. It's not an incantation. It's a call to endurance. And that endurance will give you resilience to get through whatever this world has to throw at you. He has learned. I don't invite trouble, but I don't shy away from it either. Not when I know who's walking next to me. I've learned the secret. Now you know the secret. You've known it all along, but now you know it in a different way. Now you have a way to connect to that in good and in bad. And he's always there. So here's how I would sum this up. If you want to know the secret to enough, that was a question I asked you to ponder. Enough's not a number. It's not how much money you have to save. It's not how much is in your 401k. It's not how many years until retirement. Enough is not a number. It's a name. Anybody guess what name? There's that softball across the plate. Nice. All right, so here's the other thing I want to say about this. Scarcity then cannot shake us if he is with us. Abundance cannot separate us, which means the enemy can't stop us. That's a winner church. Welcome to Union Chapel. Let's pray. God, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the one who walks with us in everything, in every experience, never leaving us or forsaking us, no matter what the world around us looks like. God, help us to be aware of that presence. Help us to draw close in times of scarcity and abundance. And for everybody who's bearing a burden right now, God, I pray your presence washes over us. Send your spirit in abundance. Wash away the cares and concerns. Reestablish the trust and relationship, that first love that we once had. Make it the first love again. God, only you can do that. Do it again. I pray this in Jesus' name.